There are so many discussion tech tools available to teachers these days. Parlay, Jamboard, Backchannel, Voxer, even Google Slides and Docs can be used to facilitate discussions among students virtually. But what always gets me thinking is these tools are great, but how do we get students to actually have meaningful conversations with each other? You know what I'm talking about, a real conversation, not the fake kind where everyone is trying to compete to impress the teacher and get a good grade. These are the kinds of discussions we so often observe in our classrooms. Getting students to have meaningful discussions isn't as hard as you might think. And in today's episode, I'm going to talk about 15 ways that you can begin to facilitate really truly meaningful conversations between your students. Welcome to the Workshop Teacher Podcast, a podcast for teachers who are interested in trying workshop in their classrooms and teachers who are obsessed with it, like me. This episode is brought to you by two of my best units to facilitate discussions with your students. One of them is a book club and literary analysis unit. This unit comes with 10 mini lessons to teach your book club unit. And these mini lessons teach students how to ask questions, how to engage in meaningful discussions, how to analyze author's craft and theme, how to discuss themes, how to develop claim statements for a literary analysis paper, how to develop evidence and reasoning for this paper, and how to publish your paper. And there's all sorts of things within every unit that I create that are editable. So editable Google Slides, editable PowerPoint slides, posters, writing charts, writing samples. I always provide writing samples in my unit so that you can show students exactly what you're expecting of them. So if you want to check out this book club literary analysis unit, you'll want to go to amandarightnow.com, click podcast, click on this episode, and at the very bottom of the show notes or the blog post, you'll find links to this unit and my other unit called Whole Class Novel Reading Workshop Unit. And this unit really focuses on just teaching one class novel. And it has, again, 10 mini lessons to teach students how to ask open and closed questions, how to respond to literature through writing, summarizing, connecting, predicting, how to analyze a character in a novel, how to analyze the figurative language being used and the author's craft that's being used, how to analyze the plot and the theme, and of course, how to have a meaningful discussion. And again, this unit is editable and it includes writing samples, writing charts, posters, videos, editable assessment tools. All of my units are pretty much fully editable. So definitely go check these two units out because when you purchase things that I create, you are supporting the work that I do. So if you're interested, go check it out at amandarightnow.com. And I hope that these units can really save you a lot of time. In my opinion, there are four components that need to be in place if you want your students to engage in meaningful discussions. So here they are, the four components. The first one is that students need to care about the topic being discussed, or the book that you're reading, or the article that you're reading. They need to care. And I'll talk a lot about how to get them to care in this episode. The second component is they need to have background knowledge about the topic being discussed so that they feel confident and knowledgeable. The third component is they need to feel safe to speak their true opinions. And the fourth is they need to feel valued by the classroom community. And the third and the fourth components are very related. So how do we accomplish all of this when we're teaching online? How do we figure out what students care about? And how do we connect that content that they care about to what we're teaching? How do we make sure they have the appropriate background knowledge? Well, that's what this episode will go into. For each of the four categories or components, I'll provide you with the tools you need to engage your students in meaningful discussions. So let's get started. First, I'll talk about the first component, connect content to what students care about. So again, there's 15 ways to engage students in meaningful discussions, right? So as I go through each of these 15 things, each of them falls under the four components. So care, students need to care. So here's how you can get students to care. Here's the first way to engage students. Conduct regular surveys using Google Forms. One of the most effective ways to get to know large groups of students individually when teaching online is through online surveys. Here are some of the questions you might consider adding to your next Google form. What is your favorite activity outside of school? What's your favorite subject? Why is that your favorite subject? Do you enjoy reading? Why or why not? So allowing students that space to talk about their feelings when it comes to reading. Do you enjoy writing? Why or why not? What's stressing you out the most right now? Be specific. What brings you joy? You might use the results of these surveys by sharing the results with your students as a jumping off point for a discussion. You might also want to use the results to find articles related to the most popular topics that your students brought up in their survey responses. So that's the first way to begin to engage students in meaningful discussions. The next way is let students write the discussion questions. Before you let students write questions, though, you need to teach them the types of questions. I like to keep this really simple. There's so many different ways you can teach students types of questions, but I like just to teach two types, open questions and closed questions. Open questions are easily answered and often involve just sharing opinions. Open questions aren't easily answered. They're not easily answered. Like, you can't just Google it to find the answer. Closed questions are usually questions that can be found quickly and can be easily answered and are more check for comprehension questions. They're also the kind of questions that if you Googled it, you'd probably find an answer pretty quickly. Once you've taught these types of questions to your students, you're going to have them write their own open and closed questions about the class novel you are reading or your book club book or an article, or even just about a controversial issue. They could write their open and closed questions about that. Urge students to ask open questions they care about, that they really want to hear their classmates' answers to. This takes time and practice. Some questions fall flat, and that's okay. Let students in on this reality that sometimes questions you have just, you know, they just fall flat and it's okay. And just appreciate the effort that they put in developing their questions. The next way to engage students in meaningful discussions is to allow students to become the experts. Have you ever been to a conference with a panel of experts and the audience asks questions of those experts? Why not simulate this experience in the classroom or virtually? Here's how it might work. First, survey students on areas where they are an expert. Video games, creating YouTube videos, rap music, skateboarding, it all counts. Then create groups of 3 to 5 students based on expert areas. Finally, have students come up with questions they want to ask these expert panelists, and then let the fun begin. So have the panelists sit, if you're in person, in front of the class in chairs, and then the class just asks some questions. Or if you're doing this virtually, you could just have students pin their video or their screens and then ask questions that way. Okay, the next way to engage students in meaningful discussions, and again, all of these ways connect to helping students care about the topic that they're discussing. Discuss controversial issues. It's important that we give students space to learn about and discuss current events and issues. This can be uncomfortable for teachers who are afraid of getting too political. The thing is that you don't have to share your opinions as the teacher. All you have to do is provide students with articles and information to read and allow time for students to respond via writing and discussion. It's important to set really clear ground rules when doing this, though. I love this parlay my friend Amanda over at Mud and Ink Teaching created that has some beautifully written and clear ground rules. If you scroll down to the section titled Peer Feedback Instructions, you can see the ground rules that she created for the discussion about the Capitol attack. And so if you go to this episode, you can click the link in this episode in the show notes to see my friend Amanda's parlay. It's pretty awesome. She's a master parlay discussion creator. She's awesome. Okay, and then the last way that I'm going to talk about in terms of getting kids to care about the topics is to read and discuss modern literature, young adult novels. Many schools and teachers are stuck with the same traditional novels they've taught year after year, the classics, things like that. But there's a whole world of young adult literature that students develop deep connections to if we give them a chance. You can check out my favorite novels to teach by clicking this link in the show notes, Engaging Books by Lexile Level and Grade. So you can see the Google Doc that I created, and it has links to every one of my favorite books to teach. Okay, moving on to the second component, which is that students need background knowledge. They need to be able to feel knowledgeable about the topics they're discussing. This is so important. First of all, I want to talk about two important books that I've read recently. These books open my eyes to the lack of background knowledge we are providing students in our educational system. I highly recommend these two books to all educators. The first one is Seven Myths of Education, and the second one is The Knowledge Gap. The two authors of these books argue that the reason students struggle with reading in particular is because students lack the background knowledge to fully comprehend text given to them during state tests, in high school, college, and beyond. Both authors make the case that schools focus way too much time on teaching skills such as making connections, making predictions, visualizing, making inferences, and too little time on talking about the actual content within the text we are having students read. The same could be said for the things we focus on during discussions. Often teachers, myself included, focus on the number of times a student speaks during a discussion, or whether or not they added on to an idea or asked a question of their classmates. Are these really the things we should focus on during discussions? Maybe because it's easily evaluated, but maybe we need to stop evaluating so much, and maybe we're just putting too much emphasis on these aspects of a discussion. Well, what we should really be focused on is the topic being discussed and the ideas that students bring up. So here are three ideas I have for building students' background knowledge so that they feel confident in their abilities to participate in a class discussion. The first way is using texts or media sets. When you teach a whole class novel, do you just read the novel or do you bring in other sources of information? I believe it's important to bring in videos, primary resource documents, and articles pertaining to the time period the book was written, the author, and the topics and themes brought up in the book. Students will get so much more out of the book if they learn about the context of that book. I have an example of a text media set for the book Chains by Laurie Halse Anderson in the show notes of this episode. So you'll definitely want to go head over to amandarightnow.com, click podcast, scroll to this episode, and you'll find the show notes and all the links to this text set. The second way that we can help students build their background knowledge is with the article of the week. Students can't discuss if they feel uninformed. Students who don't have enough background knowledge will feel insecure and are more likely to avoid participating fully in a discussion. So it's essential we provide students with enough background knowledge about the topic before the discussion. Kelly Gallagher is my hero. He has a wonderful page on his website where he posts articles he uses in his classroom along with writing prompts to help students begin to write about what they learned and thought about the article. And I have a link to Kelly Gallagher's article of the week in the show notes as well. There's also the third idea I have for you is graph of the week. This is Turner's graph of the week, and it was actually inspired by Kelly Gallagher's article of the week. It's awesome because there's a whole archive of graphs for teachers to use in their classrooms. The graphs also have associated questions and space for students to respond. And these graphs are about current events. So it's just so important that we're bringing these topics into our classrooms so that students feel informed about these things. They really need to be informed by us in our English classrooms. All right, let's move on to the third component, making your classroom a safe place to speak. So here are my ideas about how you can do that. First of all, make discussions low stakes. We don't have to grade discussions. And actually, it's better if we don't. Rather, have students participate in reflections about how the discussion went. And if you absolutely have to grade a discussion, let students practice over the course of 3 weeks before the final discussion. Let them participate in discussions and reflect on how they did. Let them have lots of opportunity to practice before you grade them. Next, you can start with small group discussions. Students will definitely get more airtime when you start with small group discussions. Introverted, more shy students need this airtime. There's also a lot less pressure when students are speaking in a small group rather than in front of the whole class. When teaching virtually, you, the teacher, is going to have to let go a little bit since you won't be able to be present in every breakout room. One way you might hold students accountable is by having one student in the breakout room take notes about what is said during the discussion. You could even have one student record the discussion for you. That might be a lot though, but maybe you do that and then you don't listen to the recordings. You just do it because students are like, oh my goodness, it's being recorded. She might listen to this later and it'll make them take it more seriously. Okay. Next, change up how you discuss. Have you ever tried a silent discussion? What about a method called World Cafe? You should definitely Google World Cafe discussion method. It's super fun. What about Hot Seat? Have you ever tried that? I have a link to my favorite website. I bring this website up all the time, Cult of Pedagogy. I'm sure you're a fan too. If you listen to this podcast, I'm sure you listen to Cult of Pedagogy's podcast. And Jennifer Gonzalez, she has a big list of discussion strategies. And this list includes an amazing number of creative ideas for facilitating discussions. When you change up the way in which you discuss, you're allowing more opportunities for a wide variety of students to participate, including your introverts. Okay, the fourth component, help students feel valued. So I have some ideas about how you can do this. The first is using sentence stems. Sometimes students need a nudge from us to be kind to each other. Sentence stems are the perfect way to give students that nudge. Before a discussion, give students a copy of these sentence stems to use during the discussion. Here are some possibilities. I appreciate what you said, and then repeat back what you heard the other classmate say. I really like how you said. I value what you said. I heard you say. So all of these prompts are really pushing kids to think about what others are saying and articulate it themselves. And also to just say, I appreciate you. I value you. I hear you. I see you. These prompts can really help students and normalize this culture of kindness that you really want to develop in your classroom. And then explicitly teach students how to value each other. Students often disregard each other during discussions by speaking out of turn, raising their hands enthusiastically while someone else is speaking, changing the subject that a student just brought up quickly in order to talk about what they want to talk about. It's important that we point these habits out and redirect students toward more respectful behavior. So how do you teach students to be more respectful of each other? We model the behavior ourselves. I recommend using the fishbowl method to do this kind of modeling. During the fishbowl, you can critique the discussion that's happening and the behavior that's happening. And you're going to want to have a brave group of student volunteers to experience this critiquing. And you could even have students critique each other, but I would recommend you doing it first and modeling, doing it in a respectful way. You might even prearrange some disruptive behavior and have students perform like actors during this fishbowl discussion. And just, you know, kids need lots of reminders about, you know, when someone's speaking, we need to keep our hands down. We're not raising our hands to speak. Having students call each other by name instead of raising hands, having them just call each other by name is really powerful too. And then lastly, just having private conversations with students. Complimenting students privately can go a long way. They appreciate when authority figures, you, notice their efforts. So make sure you speak up and tell students exactly what you appreciated about their work or contribution during a discussion. You might even use the sentence stems that I provided earlier to do this kind of work. Compliments are easy to make via online discussion platforms like Parlay. Parlay lets you give students confetti, which is so awesome. Okay, next steps. When we facilitate discussions, we need to do our best to make these discussions meaningful for everyone involved. Too often, class discussions default to fake conversations to obtain a grade. Hopefully this episode has inspired you to change things up and reach for deeper, thoughtful, and more meaningful discussions. I highly recommend that you check out my two units that are really designed for workshop teachers. And there's really, really great resources for you to help develop these meaningful discussions in your classrooms. Thank you so much for listening today. I really appreciate it. And if you found this episode valuable, go ahead, give this podcast 5 stars, write a review, recommend it to a friend. I will love you forever if you do these things. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, I'll see you later, or you'll hear me later. Okay, bye.